Let's see. Here in Kuf Tes Vav, Omid Aleph at the bottom, let's just review a drop of what we did yesterday. And that is that after we finished with Rav Ashi, we started with Reish Lakish. Rav Ashi was called To'eva. That was the source for the Isur of Achilun and Hanah in Basbachal of Reish Lakish, had a different approach, and he derived it from Korban Pesach. And there was an extra word, Mevushal, which was an allusion to another kind of Bishul besides the Isur Lava Bishul in Korban Pesach, and that was the Isur of Bishul of Basbachal. So Rabbi Yochanan, here on the top of Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, was a little bit surprised, to say the least, that Reish Lakish did not accept the source, the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And the Alfusa of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi comes from the parasha of Dom, and that is in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis. And the Torah there says, "Rak chazak levilti echol hadom ki adomu anefesh anofesh lo sochal anefesh im habasar." Then the Torah says, "Lo sochlenu ala arts nushchenu kamayim." So why the repetition? The Torah just said lo sochal, now it says lo sochlenu, and the extra Isra Achil that's formulated here in the Torah, according to Rebbe's Drasha, is to teach you Basa B'cholov. The obvious question, why should we assume that the extra Pasuk in Dam is referring to Basa B'cholov? And the Gemara comes up with a complicated answer in finding the similarity between Dam and Basa B'cholov. And that is something called Shnei Minim. Bamer Kosu Medaber, B'Shnei Minim Haru'uravim Zebozeh. Now, this statement in the Gemara is a reference to what we call Psule Hamukdashim, after Pidgin. And that's called the Tarovis of Shnei Minim, it's Kodshim and Chul. So again, even though Psuli Mikdashim after Pidgin are permissible for Shechita and for Achila, has a status of Chulin, yet for other usages, for example, for Giza, for Chaliva, for Malacha, they're still Asurim Ke Kodshim. And the Gemara B'choros derives these dinim from the Pasuk that we're looking at here in Dvarim Yud Beis. I should say at least the Perek that we're looking at, not exactly the Pasuk, a little bit earlier, before Dam. With regard to Psuya Mikdashim, the Torah says, Tizbach v'yachalto basar. Tizbach lo legiza v'yachalto basar v'lo chalav. So from this perspective, Psuya Mikdashim are considered a tarovus of Shnei Minim. They have both Chulin and Kodshim. Now Tosfos disagrees, and he doesn't believe that Psuya Mikdashim is really a tarovus of two Minim. But, says Tosfos, this braisa has in mind that the reason why the Torah created a hekesh here between Psuli HaMikdashim and Svi V'ayol, and that you'll see a hekesh in Parshas Re'eh, in that same chapter, Devarim Yud Beis, it says, HaTomei V'Tahor Yochlenu K'tzvi V'chayol. And a little bit further in that parak, it says, "Akshat kasher yachel satzvives hayal kein tochlenu." And Tosfos refers to Gemara Makis on Daf Chav Beis Omid Aleph that we derive a hekesh from behemas psui amukdashim bifnei atzma kilayim she'asu lachrosh ba olar biya. This kizeh atzmo nechshav kechoresh umarbia b'shnei minim. So based on this hekesh b'chim psuya mekdashim, which is written here in the parasha of Dom, I mean in the same context, in the same perek, in Dvarim Yud Beis, we derive that just like Tzvi ve'ayol are two minim that are mentioned here. The Torah equates Psula Mikdashim with Tzvi ve'ayol. Now we should point out over here that Rebbe holds like Rabbi Akiva that Basar Chai ve'of are not included under the Iser of Basar B'chol on a Daraisa level. And therefore, there was room to say that Psulim Mikdashim, which were equated through this Hekesh to Tzvi Ve'ayol, have the same din as Chaya, and therefore there should be Mutar B'cholav. And the Pasuk comes to be Mechadish, that as far as Pasuk B'cholav, there's a din of Behema. Now, as we said before, in Kodshim, if they're not royal achila, then we should wait until they become nosar, and then we burn them. And this is important for us at this juncture, because the Gemara says that Reish Lakish rejected the Alfusa of Rebbe, because that Yalfusa only gives me the Iser Achila and not the Iser Hanoa. And here's the one-up-it of Reish Lakish's drasha from Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is also Achila and Hanoa, and that's a reflection and application of a universal rule in Kodshim, that Kodshim or Osir Ba'anah, similar to Nosar. So for example, let's say you had Kodshim Shenaruyim Lahanah, Lachila, then it would have a similar status to Nosar, and it would require Sreifa. And whenever the Torah requires Sreifa, it must be that it's Osir Ba'anah. Now, the Mishnah says in Psachim on Pei Beis, that a Pesach Sheyotza, meaning it went out of its makom, Oshenitmo, it became Tome Yisarif Miyad. And that's based on the principle Psulo Begufo. Now, a Pesach that was cooked after Bishul Lechor would also be Psulo Begufo. If that be the case, it's not clear why Rashi needs this analogy to Nosar and the Chiyuv Sreifa in Kodshim Shenaruyim L'Achila, in order to explain why after the Korban Pesach was cooked it's also B'Hanah. The simple answer would have been because of this principle called Pesulo Begufo. Pesulo Begufo, which applies to Pesach Sheyotza, Pesach Shenitma, Yisarev. But perhaps Rashi holds that the Psul of Pesach Mevushal is only because of the Isra Achila, that you're not allowed to eat it. That's not really Psula Begufo. Let's just mention quickly here the Minchas Chinuch, and he says that for sure Pesach Mevushal is definitely considered Psula Begufo. But nevertheless, the Din of Sreifa would not apply. And for that, we'd need some sort of analogy to Nosar. Why? Because if, let's say, he cooked it on the 14th of Nisan, then it's still Mutar B'Achila, because the Iser Pesach Mevushal is only on Tesvav B'Nisan at the time of the Mitzvah B'Achila's Pesach. Now when he gets to, well, Tesvav B'Pesach, that's when the Iser Achila would set in. And if, on the other hand, it was cooked on Tesvav B'Nisan, you can't burn it, because of the principle called Ein Sarfin Kodshin B'Yontif. In any event, at this point in the Gemara, it would seem that Reish Lakish fundamentally accepted the Yalfus of Rebbe, but he had a problem, a technical problem, because he couldn't derive the Isra Hanah from the Yalfus of Rebbe. And the Gemara now establishes that Rebbe derives the Iser Hanah in Basar B'Cholav from a Hekesh, or let's call it Gzeira Shava, of Kadosh Kadesh. Not sure exactly whether it's a gzeirah shava or an asmachta, but just like in the case of Loya Kadesh, it's an Iser Hanah, which we mentioned yesterday, so too, Bas V'Cholov is Aser V'Hanah. So that's just a quick review of what we did yesterday. So let's start the new Gemara for today. Let's see where we're up to. We're on Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, and we're up to Devei Rabbi Eliezer, which is approximately, I'd say, 12, maybe 15 lines down from the top of the page. So we have now, from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Eliezer, another Yalfus, another source for the Iser of Basa B'Cholov, meaning the Iser Achil of Basa B'Cholov. And that's going to be from, actually, the parasha of Basa B'Cholov itself, because the Torah, in one breath, begins with the Iser, formulates the Iser Achilas Nevela, and then the Iser Bishul of Cholov, of Basa B'Cholov. So let's first read the Pasuk. We're in Dvarim Perek Yudalid, and the Torah says Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela, and then it says La Ger Asher B'Sharecha Titneno V'Achala O Machar L'Nachri, but Lo Svashel Gedi B'Chalevimo. And here's how Rabbi Eliezer wants to read the pasuk. The Torah says that if you have Nevela, then you could sell it to a guy. But lo sevashel, what the Torah is telling us is that although you can sell the nevela, raw nevela, to a nachri, but you cannot cook it with milk and then sell it to a nachri. So the Torah in lo sevashel gedi is sort of like limiting, it's restricting, a kind of a bemedvar mamurim on machar yimkarenu l'nachri. And it's saying, under what circumstances are you allowed to sell it to a nachri? That's if you haven't cooked it gedi b'chalev imo. So here's how he reads it: Lo sochlu kol nevela amra Torah kishetim karena lo sevashlena vitim karena. In other words, don't first cook it with milk and then sell it, because once you cook it with milk, you won't be able to sell it. Now, there are a number of questions that arise here in trying to understand this drasha. One of them is, do we have a problem here of Ein Iser Chalal Iser, meaning if he's going to take the nevela, and the nevela is already asura, and he's going to cook it with milk, then the Iser of Nevela was Chal before the Iser Bas B'Cholov. Would the Iser Bas B'Cholov actually be Chal in such a way that now he's not going to be able to sell it? But before we get to that question, let's first ask a different question. Now, we said that the reason why Rebbe is able to derive the Iser Hanah in Basa B'Cholov, and the Iser Achil on the one hand from Dam, but that's not enough, because that only generates an Iser Achil, but the Iser Hanah, because I top it off with a kind of Gzeirah Shavah to Loya Kadesh. So now, once we have the pasuk Loya Kadesh as with its analogy to Ki Am Kadosh Ata Hashem Elokecha Lo Svashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, to derive the Iser Hanah, why wouldn't that be sufficient and generate an Iser Achila? Why does Rebbe need the derivation from dung? And this is the kasha of Tosfos, Dibra Maskil V'Nemar. So let's just try to understand what's going on here. The Maram, who's one of the super commentaries on Tosus, says that we could have said that there's an Iser Hanah from Basa B'Cholav, but only in the case where it is Be'en. For example, if we equate Lo Yeh Kadesh, which is called Hanas Be'ilah, with Basa B'Cholav, then Lo Yeh Kadesh is a case of what we call Hanah Miguf, Me'aguf Be'atzma. And that's called Eino Miskale. But in the case of Basa B'Cholav, what happens? You get some sort of Hanah from Basa B'Cholav. Let's say you use it, as fuel. So in such a case, it's miskale, which means that the Hanah itself destroys the object. That's not at all similar to the case of Hanah's Be'ilah. So this, according to the Maram, is what bothers Tosus. However,
in
this drasha, this equation between Lo Yeh Kadesh, which is supposed to reveal in Iser Hanah and Basa B'Cholav, because the Kadesh and Kadosh, we have a principle called Dayal of Amin Adin. You can't go beyond the Malami. The Malami is Hanah's Be'ilah, and that's called and classified as Hanah She'eino Miskala. But we want to derive an Iser Hanah within the framework of this Gzeir Shava to Basa B'Cholav, and that's called Hanah HaMiskala, because presumably the way he benefits from the Basa B'Cholav, it causes the decomposition, so to speak, of the food, of the object, of the Basa B'Cholav. So it doesn't seem that the Hekesh or Gzeir Shava, whatever you want to classify it, of Lo Yeh Kadesh would really give us all the mileage that we need for establishing an Iser Hanah in Basa B'Cholav. However, although the Maram explains it that way, the Masifta quotes other Achronim that have a different twist. They said, She'im lo haya kasuv Iser Hanah. So let me just get back to the answer to our original question. Why does Rebbe need the Pasuk from Dom of Lo Sachlena? And the answer is, according to the interpretation of Tosus of the Maram, is that the additional limud from Dom is necessary to broaden the scope of the Iser Hanah. That we shouldn't think that since you're deriving Iser Hanah from the Hanah's Be'ilah of Lo Yeh Kadesh, therefore we're limited in what kind of Iser Hanah. But once we put it back into the parasha of Dom, then what we're saying is that just like in Dom, a Hanah would be a Hanah Sheyesh Bar Kilui, here too, in Bas B'Cholav, the Torah prohibits Hanah Sheyesh Bar Kilui. But then he quotes another interpretation that Im Lo Haya Kasuv Iser Achila, if the Torah wouldn't have had the Iser Achila Sofleno of Dom, from the Parsha of Dom, then we would have said that Achila is Muteris. Why? Because it's only when he has Hanah midavar shegufo bien haTorah osa, but achila Hanah sheba hirak achrei shadavar miskala v'nimas. So that the Iser Achila could not be derived from the Iser Hanah. This is fascinating. We would have said that if the Torah prohibits Hanah, how much more so Achila is prohibited? But no. Since Achila destroys the object, then it's really not a full-fledged Hanah. You know, you want to have Hanah and still the goof is Kayim, Chai V'Kayim. So that now we justify the Yalfusa from Lo Yeh Kadesh, the Alfusa from Lo Sochlenu and Dom, because we need a more classic Iser Achila. We need to derive a classic Iser Achila, which we could not derive from the Iser Hanah. Then he quotes the Rashash. The Rashash says that what does Tosus have in mind? that Hana is Asura and Achilu Vimuteres. Why? Because Matsinu Harbi Dvarm Shemutarim Bachilu Vieno Mutarim Bahana. So in other words, what we're saying is that although the Torah prohibits Hana, that doesn't necessarily so factor mean it prohibits Achila, because we have cases where it's also Bachila, where it's Mutar Bachila and yet it's also Hana. So for example, you would not be allowed to take psule mukdashim and ride the animal or milk the animal and so forth and so on. But if you shecht it, you're allowed to eat the animal. So you see that there are cases where although the hana is prohibited, but the achila is muter. So for that we need a special limud from Lo Soklenu in Don. However, the Atzmos Yosef says that what Tosus has in mind is that if not for the pasuk of Dam, which generates an Israchil, we would have said that only Hanas Haguf Mamish Asur could go on Hanas V'ilo. For who had din Achil Asur Mishum Shagam Hi Hanas Haguf Aval Shar Hanos Enam Asuros. So, for example, would you be allowed to feed Basu Machal to your dog or sell to a guy? The answer is yes, because that's not called Anas Haguf. If you use the Basu Machal as a salve, let's say, on your body, so that would be Anas Haguf. That would be similar to Anas Be'ila. But now that we derive the Isra Achila from Dam, then we know that we should reinterpret and broaden the scope of the Isra Hana that we derive from Kadesh, from Anas Bi'ila. Now we have one more answer to Kusha Satosis.
This is a little Tosis.
All this is in one little Tosis, right?
Amazing.
I mean, here it fills up more than a page. I'm only summarizing a few points. He has a Maramshik who says that if the Torah, according to Tosfos, the Torah hadn't formulated an Isra Achil in the case of Dam, we would have thought that if he's Nenemi Basa Macholov in a Shir of Pachas Mikizayas, he'd be Chayav. And therefore the Torah had to formulate it as an Isra Achil to tell me that just like Achil is Mikizayas, so too the Isra Hana has to be a Shir of Kizayas. But the Ritva gives an entirely different answer to Tosus Kasha. And he says the following, that the Gzeres Shav itself is not clear, because there are two different words here. There's Kadosh in the parish of Basu Mechalev and Kadesh in the parish of Kadesh. And therefore we need a source for the Isra Achila, and then after we have a source for an Isra Achila, then we can use this quasi Gzeres Shav to generate an Isra Hana. In other words, We prefer to derive Basu Mechalev in Gzeres Shavah from Kodesh to Kadosh, because the other option would be to derive it from another source, which is only Asur B'Achila, but yet we would not be satisfied with this drasha of Kodesh Kadosh, because it's not a full fledged Gzeres Shavah.
Why would that be the case?
Because there's a discrepancy between the two words. Do you follow? Gzeres Shavah means it's the exact same word twice. So we're not sure. If we need an extra push in order to accept this as Gzeres Shavah. So we need to first establish Isra Achila, and then this middle of the road kind of Gzeres Shavah could give us one step beyond the Isra Achila and add an Isra Hana. Okay, now there's a whole discussion here about a Gzeres Shavah between Basu Mechalev and Treifa. That's going to come a little bit up the pipeline with Isi Ben Yehuda, but we didn't get to that yet. Now he has another Rambam here in Perek Ches Michos Macholos Asuros, and the Rambam says you don't get Malkus Fahana. So therefore, according to the Rambam, If we didn't have a pasuk on the Isra Achila, but we derived the Isra Achila from the Isra Hanoah based on the Gzeres Shavah, there would not be Malchus. Because just like according to the Rambam, there's no Malchus on Hanoah, so too there'd be no Malchus on Achila because of Dayal of Omen Adin. If you're only deriving the Isra Achila from the Isra Hanoah, then there would be no Malchus. The Rambam holds there's no Malchus for violating the Isra Hanoah. Now let's open up a Rambam in Isurei Bia in Perek Aleph. The Rambam writes that in Isurei Bia you're chayev even for Bia Shalom Kedarka. And if that be the case, if we would derive, and the only derivation we would have from Lo Ye Kadesh, then we would come to the mistaken conclusion that even a Hanoah Shalom Kedarka is also included under, it is also enjoined in the case, you're enjoined from it in the case of Asa V'Cholav. So it's interesting, what we're suggesting now is that the limud from Lo Sochlena is going to be Mekil and going to restrict the nature of the Isra. You're only Asur if it's Kederech Achila. So again, although we might have derived from the Hekesh, the Gzer Shavati, Isurei Bia, that there would be an Isra even of Hanoah Shalom Kedarka, but the Torah excludes that by teaching us Lo Sochlena, which means don't eat it the normal way it's eating, and that's going to have an impact even on the Isra Hanoah, that you're only going to be Chayef Hanoah if it's Kederech Hanoah. Now, getting back for a moment to Nevela and to Debei Rabbi Eliezer, we have here a statement in Rabbeinu Gershon that what Rabbi Eliezer is telling us, that if you cook the milk and the nevela together, you won't be able to sell it. So the Teferis Yaakov is wondering about the language of the Braisa. It says, Lo sevashlena visim karena. Right? You can't cook it and sell it. Now it comes out, if you take this lashon of the Braisa literally, it sounds like the Iser Bishel is an Iser because you want to sell it. So you're not allowed to cook it and sell it. But let's say to cook it and not sell it, would that be permissible? We know that you're not allowed to sell it even if you're not allowed to cook it even if you have no intention of selling it. So he's wondering about the language of the Braisa. The Tana should have said, in Bishalta, lo tim karena. But instead it says, lo tefashlena vitim karena. So he says that this Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, holds that basar chelev becholav, if you cook it together, you don't get malchus for the bishul. And the reason for that is because you wouldn't get malchus for the achila. So let's go over this one more time. He takes chelev and he cooks it with chalav. So there's a shita back on Daf Kufiyud Gimel that in such a case he doesn't get malchus for bishul. Why? Because bishul and achila are always equated, and whenever you don't get malchus for the achila, you don't get malchus for the bishul. And here in this case, you won't get malchus for the achila of basar v'cholav because you're chayv already mishum chelev, and therefore you don't get malchus for the bishul. So this is what the braisa here is coming to teach me, and that is that lo sevashlena v'sim karena, meaning that the Bryce wants to tell me that if, let's say, you would not get malchus for achila, and that's because it's nevela, you might think that therefore you don't get malchus for bishul because of this shita of equating bishul and achila, meaning the Iser Bishul is contingent upon on the Iser Achila, and they're equated one to the other. So if that be the case, then what the Gemara wants to emphasize here is Lo Sevashlena V'Sim Karena, that even though you would not be in violation of achilas basar v'chalav if you were to eat this after you cook it, but nevertheless, you're not allowed to cook it. Why? Because you violate the Yisra Achila. Even though you cooked nevela with chalav, and you would not get malchus for basar v'chalav, but you would be prohibited from eating it, b'toras basar v'chalav, and therefore that generates an isur bishul. So that even though you're taking nevela now, and you're cooking it with chalav, and there would not be an isur malchus for basar v'chalav, but nevertheless there would be an isur basar v'chalav. And that Isur Basar V'Cholav would generate an Isur Bishul, and that's what the Tanna of the Spice wants to emphasize, Lo Tivashlenu V'Simkarenu. That it is called Basar V'Cholav if you cook milk with Nevela, and therefore it's Asur Ba'ano, you're not allowed to sell it. Although, if you were to cook it, and that's what he did, you would not get malchus for cooking it, because this Tana holds that where there's no malchus for achilah, there's no malchus for bishul. And finally, we have another source, and this is something that we're familiar with since our youth, because Rashi quotes it in the Torah. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Lo Svashel Gdiba Chalev Imo Sholosh Pi Amim Echad Lisra Achila Echad LeIsur Anovi Echad LeIsur Bishul. Now, the Torah says that you should not cook Basar V'Cholav, and we're going to derive from that you're not allowed to eat Basar V'Cholav. Why did the Torah emphasize Lo Savasha? So the answer is because the Torah wants to tell you that you're not enjoined from eating Basar V'Cholav. You're enjoined from eating Basar V'Cholav that was cooked together. And that's on a Doraisa level. On a Darbona level, you're not allowed to eat any combination of Basar V'Cholav, even if they weren't cooked together. Now, according to the Bach, and this is in Simon Pei Zayin, in Yoredeya, Mirabonan also lechol basar v'chalav rak nimlechu o nichbishu yachad aval ein iser hanav yofen zeh. And he suggests that on a Rabbanan level, we could differentiate between the iser achila and the iser hanav. In other words, we don't apply the principle of kol d'tikun, and we have, when we mirror image of the Doraisa and the Drabonin, and anything that would have been awesome in the Doraisa through Bishul is awesome in Drabonin even without Bishul. That's not so, says the Bach. When the Drabonin prohibited the combination of Basar V'Cholav even without Bishul, they only went as far as the Isra Achila, but not as far as including an Isra Hanah. But in any event, let's get back to the question that we raised. Why did the Torah use the word bishul when really there's an isra achila? So the Tiferes Yaakov suggests that perhaps the Torah wanted to teach us that the bishul has to be done by a Jew, which means that there was a violation of the isra bishul. Then there's a cheftz of basar v'cholav, it's also achil, it's also manah. But if, let's say, it was cooked, milk and meat, through a guy, or perhaps meat fell into a tavshil shel cholav, it just fell in, there was no violation of isur bishul, then it would not be an isur achila or hanah. Now, all this is incorrect, but the Tiferes Yaakov is asking, why is it incorrect? I mean, the Torah just mentions bishul, which means that if you violate the Isur Bishul, then there's an Isur Achila and an Isur Hanah. But in other cases where there was no violation of the Aver of Bishul, then there would not be any Isur Achila and Isur Hanah. How do we know that that's not correct? So he claims that this Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, holds like Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi holds that there's an Isur of Lo Tochal Kol Toeva. And if that be the case, what is the Torah adding here in the parasha of Basa v'Cholav, we already would have included, as Rav Ashi pointed out, the Isur Basa v'Cholav has an Isur Achila under Lo Sochal called Toeva. So what's the Chiddush of these Psukim here? And the answer is that if we only had Lo Sochal called Toeva, we would only know a case where there was a violation of an Avera, then it becomes Toeva. Let's say the Israel cooked Basa v'Cholav. He created Basa v'Cholav b'Avera, then it's got a status of Toeva. But how do we know that even if the Basa v'Cholav was created automatically or through a Goy and there was no violation of Avera, how do we know that Tosav Achili, you can't derive that from Toeva? And that's derived from these Psukim that the Torah repeats itself Lo Savashal three times. So again, the Tiferes Yaakov is saying that if not for Rav Ashi and Lo Socha Kol Toeva, if you only had Bishul here, you might assume that only if he violates an Avera and the Yisrael was Mavashal, only then is there an Isur V'Achila and Isur Ano Bos V'Cholav. But from the fact that we already have Toeva, because we know the Drosh and we've accepted it of Rav Ashi, then what is the Torah adding on top of Toeva? And the answer is, even if there was no Avera, nevertheless, he would violate this Isur of Basa v'Cholav if he eats it or if he has Hanoah from it. Now, I'm just thinking out loud, if the Tiferes Yaakov is correct, then there's something really strange going on. If a Yisrael cooked the Basa v'Cholav, let's call him Reuven, if Reuven himself or Shimon or any other Jew would now eat this concoction of Basa v'Cholav, he would get Malchus for Basa v'Cholav. But if a guy cooked Basa v'Cholav, then according to the logic of Tiferes Yaakov, he would not get Malchus for Basa v'Cholav. He would get Malchus for a different Avera of Lo Sochal Kol Nevela, Amisu Kol Toeva. In other words, Toeva maybe applies even without an Avera. Let's go the other way around. Let's start the other one. In a case where Yisrael cooked the Basa v'Cholav b'Avera, if somebody eats it, then he should get Malchus for Kol Toeva Lo Sochel. Would he get Malchus also for Bishul Basa v'Cholav? And the answer probably would be, now that we have the Isur Basa v'Cholav on top of the Isur of Toeva, Then we know that in the case where it's Toeva and it was created by Yisrael, the Isur, there's another additional Isur on top of Lo Sochal Kol Toeva. You'll have an Isur Basa v'Cholav. But I wanted to know what would happen if a guy would have cooked a Basa v'Cholav. It would seem to me that according to the logic of the Tiferes Yaakov, in this case, he would not get Malchus for Lo Sochal Kol Toeva. He would only get Malchus for the Isur of Lo Savashal Gidi, which teaches me an Isur Achila. But I think that the Tiferes Yaakov would answer that once we have the additional limud from Lo Savashal Gidi, then we go back to Toeva and we broaden the definition of Toeva, that any Basa v'Cholav is considered Toeva, even if there was no Avera. Tanya, now we get to Isi ben Yehuda that we mentioned earlier. Oh, wait a second. You know what? We have to ask another question here, I think, that we may have missed. And that is, it says Lo Savashal Gidi three times, and the third time is to generate an Isur Hanoah. Now we mentioned the Rambam Shita that if you violated Isur Hanoah, you don't get Malchus. Rambam says, Eino lokim in HaTorah, Ela makin oso makas mardus midrabbanan. So the Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Macholos Asuras Perkes wants to know, what's the source for this Rambam? How did the Rambam know that you don't get Malchus for violating an Isur Hanoah? In all the cases that the Torah prohibited Hanoah, whether it's Basa v'Cholav, Klaya Kerem, Arlo, all the cases. He claims that the source for the Rambam is a Gemara Pesachim Chavdalim in Beis. Why? Because the Gemara says that you only get Malkus for something that's called Kidarka. So he says the following, that the Rambam understood that every time you violate an Isra Hanah, that's called Shalom Kidarka. What does that mean, Shalom Kidarka? He says because the real Derech of Hanah is Achila. If instead of eating it, he feeds it to his dog, Lemoshal, that's already Alpidin, considered Shalom Kidarka. And the Gemara says in Pesachim that if you violate the Isra Hanah of Shalom Kidarka, then you're not chayv malchus. Kol dover sheroy l'achila, says the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam, derech hanasi dafkal yidei achila. Now again, what would be according to the Magid Mishnah in the case of something that's not roy l'achila, but it's roy l'ano, I can't eat it, it's not humanly edible, I can feed it to my dog. In that case, the Rambam should say that he gets malchus. But the Rambam makes a blanket statement that you don't get Malkus for violating an Isur Hanah. I mean, you get Malkus Maradus, but not Malkus Doraisa. So let's just add the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech says that the Rambam's logic is a totally different logic. There is no Isur Hanah in the Torah, meaning you only get Malkus for something that is clearly explicitly written in the Torah. It's mefurish b'Torah. Anything that's derived from a drasha does not generate malchus. And when the Torah says lo sochelu, so we have Rabbi Avoh's principle that whenever the Torah says don't eat it, it means don't get malchus, but that's based on a drasha. That's not mefurish in the Torah. The Torah says don't eat nevela. Well, okay, yeah, nevela is not a good example. Well, let's say the Torah says, don't eat kalaya karen, right? So we derive from that an Isra Hanah. So since it's not the first b'Torah, you can't get Malkus. Oh, so now the Mishnah Melech is bothered. He thinks that the Rambam should admit that if you get Hanah from Basa B'Cholav, then you should get Malkus in that case. Why? Because the Isra Hanah is derived from the extra Pasuk Los of Hashel. Wouldn't that be considered mefurish b'Torah? So he explains that even though we derive it from an extra pasuk, but nevertheless the simple pshat in the pasuk is that the Torah is prohibiting what? Bishul. But the repetition of lo sevashal over and over again is going to generate a drasha, is going to derive the Isra Hanah, but it's not mefurish b'Torah, and therefore you don't get malchus. The Michas Chinuch has a third explanation for the Rambam, why you don't get Malkus on Hanah. And he says, because Hanah is without a Maisa. What does that mean? There are many different ways of getting Hanah, but there are methods in which you can get Hanah without actively doing it. And that makes it into a Lav She'ein Bo Masa. So again, let's just summarize three explanations as to why the Rambam would say that you don't get Malkus for violating the Isra Hanah of any Isra Hanah, and certainly not in the case of Basa B'Chol. The first explanation is because the Rambam holds that every Hanah is considered Shalom Kedarka, because Derech Hanasi Al Yidei Achila. We had a question about that in the case where something is not edible. Then we have the Mishnah Lamel who says that anything that's not Mefurish B'Torah cannot generate Malkus, like Ein Onshin, LNK Mazirin kind of thing. And then we have the Chinuch who says that the reason why you can't get Malkus is because it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. And again, I don't know, that's a little problematic because the Rambam holds, for example, that if you buy Chametz on Pesach, you get Malkus of Al Yorbe Motze. And that's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. But the answer is if you violate a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa with a Maisa, then you do get Malkus. So I don't know about this Mishnah, this Sefer Chinuch here, why he classifies, why he explains the Rabbi Yoke Malkus from Isra Hanah because it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Now we have the Ramban. You know, the Ramban writes Hasagos on the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rambam, and he disagrees with the Rabbi, and he holds that if you get Hanah from Basa B'Chol, you get Malkus. So the Mishnah Melech writes, this is the Mishnah Melech in Yisodei HaTor Perkei, that even according to the Ramban, if you eat basa b'cholav, you don't get two sets of malchus, one for the Isra Lo Sevashel of achila, and a second time for loss of ashal of hana. So you don't get 39 times 2, one for achila, one hana, even though by eating basa b'cholav he's also violating the isra hana. But the Isra Hanah has to separate itself, says the Mishnah Melech, has a separate Maisa. Do you follow? In other words, there's no doubt that when a person eats Basa V'Cholav, he also has Hanah from Basa V'Cholav. But he's not doing a Maisa of Hanah. So he's only Chayav Malkus for violating the Isra Achila, and the Isra Hanah is a separate Isra, which would generate Malkus if he did a separate Maisa. But this Maisa of Achila is already classified. It has the character, the personality of an Isra Achila. Now let's ask the following question. We had Rabbi Eliezer just before. Rabbi Eliezer derives the Isra Hanan Bas Machala from Nevela, from the Parasha Nevela. Would Rabbi Eliezer have any use for this drush of Rabbi Shmuel, meaning of the three repetitions of Lo Savasha? He says the following: that the Isra Bishol we're going to derive from one pasuk, and the Isur Hanah from another pasuk. This is a Maram Shif. So let me just see if I understand the Maram Shif. The Maram Shif is saying that according to the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, it says Lo Yim Karena. What was the language? Lo Sevashlet of Isim Karena. Oh. Now, Los Vashlet of a Sig Karena is going to teach me that if you cooked the Nevela with Cholav, you can't sell it to a guy, right? The Torah says you're allowed to sell the Nevela to a guy, but only if you didn't cook it with Cholav. That's his drasha. That seems to generate an Isra Hanah, correct? Because Mechira is an Isra Hanah. But Rabbi Eliezer will still need Rabbi Ishmael, because he needs a pasuk for an Isra Achila. I'm not sure if that's what he means. Let me just finish reading what he says, another two lines. He says, L'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, ha'limud hu b'derech im eino inyan, klomar, kemet shalot tzarech shalosh psukim li'isra bishul, one pasuk would suffice, is behechrek shepasuk echem melamed Isra Achila, pasuk nosaf melamed Isra Hanah. But for Ilu Tana de Bei Rabbi Eliezer, Iser Hanah Nilmad Mi Mashmos HaPosuk of Shalos Sivashlet of Isim Karena. Second, again, if the Torah in the Posuk itself is teaching me the Isra Hanah, because it's telling me you can't sell Basa B'Cholav, so why did the Torah have to repeat itself three times? Son of the Maram Shif is telling me he needs one pasuk for the Isra Achila, but Rabbi Shmuel is going to use all three psukim because he needs a pasuk for the Isra Hanah as well. If Rabbi Eliezer already has a pasuk for the Isra Hanah, so why did the Torah repeat itself three times? I don't know. I don't have an answer to this. We'd have to go through the Maram Shif inside. This is just a summary of the Maram Shif, but the Maram Shif somehow says that in Rabbi Eliezer's frame of reference, you don't have the same in Eino Inyan that Rabbi Shmuel has, because Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have a drasha for the Isra Achila, and certainly not for the Isra Hanah. So therefore, he needs the Bishul to repeat it over and over again with an Imenu Inyan. Since I don't need it for Bishul, I derive Achil. If I don't need it for Bishul, I derive Hanah. But that is not going to satisfy Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer might need the Lo Savashal number 2 in order to generate Isra Achil. I don't know why he needs the Lo Savashal number 3 to generate an Isra Hanah if the Torah says Lo Savashlenu Visim Karenu. Now he quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin only quotes Rabbi Ishmael, and we saw that in Rashi and Chumash as well. Now it's very interesting, because Rabbi Ashi has an entirely different drasha, and that was Losochel Kol Toeva. Now, Ravina Rav Ashi was Sof Chachmei Talmud. That means that Rav Ashi was one of the editors of the Talmud. So when Rav Ashi edited Masechta Kiddushin, why did he omit his own drasha? And all he does is quote the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, you could say that's intellectual, you know, Hashem is being very nice, but he holds that the source for Basa B'cholov is Toeva. And it's really interesting because over and over again we'll see that Rabbi Shmuel is quoted. For example, the Rambam, when he describes the mitzvah, the losaseh of Basa B'cholov, he derives it from the three times. That's in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayin. The Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, and Yerodei Pei Zayin. All they do is quote the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. Nobody seems to quote any of the other possibilities, not even that of Rav Ashi, which the Gemara worked so hard to be the Ashi of Rav Ashi. The Efshal Lilmod Mehem Isra Achila V'Anah V'Bas V'Cholav, as if to say that we reject all the other drushes, and the only thing we could fall back on is this Rabbi Shmuel, the thrice. V'Lachein HaKol Modum She'ikra Drashi V'Mat She'nichtav Sholosh Pamim Lo Sevashel She'im Psukim Miyutarim V'Lavim Gmurim El Osam Tanoim V'Amoroim Sovru She'ma Torah Lo Hoysar Omemes B'Mokom Acher She'ish Yisrach Yil V'Anah B'Basu V'Cholov. So this is not a comfortable eno inyan that we spoke about, that since the Torah repeats itself and it's not necessary, therefore we're going to derive the Yisra Achilu, the Yisra Adno. No, you have to have some basis for it. Although that basis may be in a different parasha, and it's not in the parasha of Basa B'Cholov, but once we have already a source, you know, we have a peg to hang our hat on, and we can call it a remez that there's an Yisra Achilu and Yisra Adno. Now we go back to the question of Rabbi Shmuel, the Yemeno Inyan, but the Yemeno Inyan is based on and built on the remez for this Yisra Achilu and Yisra Adno that's written in another parasha. So at the end of the day, from whence do we derive the Yisra Achilu and Yisra Adno? It's from the fact that the Torah repeats it three times. But we need some other siyua, you know, some sort of support, and then we feel comfortable. Now this leads us to Isi ben Yehuda, Tanya. Isi ben Yehuda Omer Minayin Lebas V'Cholv Sha'asa V'Achila Nemar Kan. In Bas V'Cholv it says, in Parshas Re, it says Ki Am Kadosh Ata V'Nemar Lehalon. I don't know exactly what the Gemara means by Lehalon, because now we're going back to Parshas Kitisa, and there it says V'Anshi Kodesh Tiyun Li U'Basar V'Sad Trefa Lo Sochelu. Now, that pasuk prohibits treifa, but what we find in the pasuk is the word kodesh. Anshe kodesh tiyuli, basa v'sod treifa lo sochelu. And in basa v'cholv it also says kiam kadosh ata. So we're going to set up a gzeres shava kadosh and kodesh. Malahalon asur. In the case of treifa, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat treifa. Is afkan also so too here in Basa B'Cholov? You're not allowed to eat Basa B'Cholov. Eli elu achila hanah minayin. Amar kav l'chomer ma orla shelo nevda ba'avera is asur banah. Basa B'Cholov she nevda ba'avera ain't a din she'asur banah. Now, according to Isi ben Yehuda, we're not accepting the principle of Rabbi Avo, which means that whenever the Torah says Lo Sochelu, we can derive an Isra Hanah. We need to derive an Isra Hanah from a Kal V'Chomer, from Orla. Now it could very well be that even Rabbi Avo would agree in this case that we need the Kal V'Chomer from Orla. And the reason for that is because the Torah doesn't use the word Achil in Basa B'Chol. There is a Gzeres Shava, and that Gzeres Shava would give me the Isra Achila Bas V'Chol, but it's not written Mefurash. But furthermore, Trefa is basically Nevela. And the Torah says about Nevela, like Gerashev Sharechet Tidnena, the Torah is explicit about Heter Hanah, and that was Rabbi Yafos and Tai Drush, that from the Vela we see that all other cases it's also Yibah Hanah, but the Torah was Matin in the Vela. And that Heter applies to Trefa as well. So if the Lo Salchelu of Trefa is the source for the Yisra Achilu Bas Mechalav through the Zgzeri Shav of Kodesh Kadosh, then Dayal of Abed Adin, we cannot derive an Yisra Hanah from Trefa, and therefore we need the Kavachomer from Orla. Now, how do you know the treifa is mutar hanah? That's an interesting question, because the Torah says in the parasha Nevela that Nevela is mutar hanah, and that's earlier in the same perek in Dvarim Yudalit. But with regard to treifa, all the Torah says is lo sochelu. So I don't know if you're familiar with I don't know all the details, but Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah drasha. And nobody knows exactly who wrote the drasha, whether it was the Beis Halevi, his father, or whether it was Reb Chaim. The Rav used to always say it couldn't have been the Beis Halevi, because it's Mamish Reb Chaim's thought. So even though it was only a bar mitzvah boy, but basically the whole yesod of Reb Chaim revolves around this idea that treifa is an isa nevela. Why? Because treifa means that there's no heter shechita. And that's exactly what nevela is, that the animal died without shechita. So now let's take a look at Arla, right? Arla is nevdeva avera. I'm sorry. Arla is lo nevdeva avera. Now what does that mean, lo nevdeva avera? No, normally, nevdeva avera applies when you have a moment that's in time, that something is mutter, and then you do an avera and it becomes asur. But in the case of Arla, from the moment that it grows on the tree, It's already also b'toras arla. So the whole concept of nevdeva avera is lechora totally inapplicable, or you want to say lo nevdeva avera. But again, nevdeva avera and its flip side, the two sides of the coin, that whole discussion, that whole issue is totally irrelevant and inapplicable to the case of arla, because arla never had a moment in which you could say, well, I did an avera, and therefore, and what do you mean? Arla is awesome, period. You know, basa b'chalav is nevdeva avera because you had basa, which was mutter, and you had chalav, which is mutter. And now you took the two and you cooked it together, that's called nevdeva avera, the Torah said lo savasha. But does that mean that basa b'chalav is more chamur than arla? Because in Arla you didn't do an avera. I'd say just the opposite. That Arla is more chamor because you never even had an opportunity to do an avera. It was also from Trilas Briyoso. So I have here a footnote that if you take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maskil Ma Arla. Do you see that? So Tosfos wants to know the following, that you claim that Arla is Kal and Bas B'chol is Chomer. What's the Chomer Bas B'chol? Because Nevdeva Avera. What happens if I find a Chomer in Arla that doesn't exist in Bas B'chol? That would mean I have a Pirch on the Kal V'chomer, because the Kal V'chomer is based on the fact that Bas B'chol is more Chomer than Arla, because Nevdeva Avera. Fractosis, the halacha is that Arla, if it falls into tvua muteres, into heter, you need masayim, you need 200 against the Arla, 200 of heter to be mevatel isa. That's the sugim sochem on daf chav zayin. Bas v'cholav is 1 in 60. So we see clearly that the Torah was more machmir in Arla than it was in Bas V'chol. So the fact that Arla is also Banoah doesn't prove a thing about Bas V'chol, that would be a pircha. So Tosfos answers that the din that Arla needs Masayim is only a Durabana. So the Achronim ask Akasha, Tipas Cholav Shenafla B'kedera Shel Basar. Let's say you had milk and wind came and blew the milk down and it fell into a pot of meat. Well, let's say a guy put it in, whatever the case may be. Are you going to tell me that it's not awesome in Torah's Basa B'chol? It certainly is, even though lo nas de ba'vera. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that the chumra of bas mechal is because of nasta ba'avera. Well, I have news for you. Bas mechal applies even if it wasn't lo nasta ba'avera. So don't tell me that there's a chumra here in bas mechal of nasta ba'avera. So the Rav Shif comes up with an answer, and he says that bas mechal of nasa davar she'im adam osa so hu ba'avera. That bas mechalav is an object, an entity, which if somebody would have created it with an avera, it would be also b'toras bas mechalav. Not that every case of bas mechalav is nasa b'avera, but bas mechalav in its conceptual broad framework means that there is an avera. So B'li Neder, we'll try to pick this up on Sunday. And I wish you good Shabbos. I mean, if you're with me for any of these shiurim today.